I went to the doctor and the doctor said, son, you look older than me, and I'm 71. You're falling apart, you're not living right. I went to the doctor and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle and you're losing the fight.
Hello, this is 90.1 listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is Ken Logan, and stay tuned for The Doctor's Inn. I'll be right back. Fill up
this paper cup and give it to the nurse. Don't spill it now. I went to the doctor. Doctor said, friend.
I'm going to be talking today about a number of subjects, and I'll get into that in a minute. But first, I want you to know that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. I want to tell you that The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of you, KZFR supporters, and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. And by Dahlmeier Insurance Agency, an independent agent and retail broker since 1948. Dahlmeier Insurance provides a range of coverage options, from home and audio insurance to ranch and farm coverage. You can reach Dahlmeier Insurance in Chico at 342-6421 and in Orville at 533-3424 or at chicoinsurance.com. The Doctor's Inn that you're listening to today was actually recorded on the 30th of September because I was not able to be in the studio the day. Hopefully you're listening to this on October 15th, 2020. Therefore, some information, for example, about COVID virus status in our community is from the end of September. However, the other parts of today's show are consisting of information that is not time-specific, and it's largely my opinions. Today's show will include issues and subjects that I feel are important to me to share relative to my opinions as a doctor, but also to share with you some issues relating to information about viruses. I'll go into the list here in a minute. And of course, these will be issues concerning areas of health and well-being. I want you to know that a large part of being a doctor for me and many of us has to do with us being teachers. That is, sharing information and advice with other people, be it specific patients under our care or any other people. And it also involves the act of listening to people, listening to our patients and other people. So my job as a doctor is teaching and listening. There's other work too, but mainly teaching and listening. So today I'm going to be sharing information with you and advice relative to COVID virus and flu vaccination advice. I'm also going to be talking about stress, some information and some advice relative to stress that's present in us, especially now, at this time in the country. And some words about the medical situation actually of our president and some advice about your health and the health of other human beings. If there are subjects that you would like me to cover on The Doctor's Inn, or if there's subjects that I speak about rather quickly today that you would like me to expand on, and there may be some of those today that you'll hear, I'm telling you that you can communicate with me at my email address and let me know what subjects you would like me to cover on this show. And my email address is klogan, MD, at yahoo.com. And K Logan is the letter K. So KLOGANMD@yahoo.com. The first subject I'm going to talk about is stress in us. These are stressful times for us. We all have stresses that are unique to ourselves as individuals, of course. But for right now, what I'm talking about are the stresses that are present in us because of things happening in the world around us. Specifically, these current ubiquitous stresses include COVID virus and the restrictions and the worries and the illness itself and the deaths that are related to that. Another stress that's present currently, of course, is the fires. The fires and the concerns that we have relative to our security, of course, but also the sense of well-being that the fires affect in us, and our fears and irritations. Another issue of stress currently and before COVID and currently with COVID, of course, are financial stresses. To one degree or another, you're able to help some of those as time goes on, but some of them you may not be able to help. So that could be an ongoing stress for you. Another stress currently, as you know, is racism, anger and disrespect of others, and actually some violence, and how the sharing of voice relative to this can actually be difficult in some situations, such as when peaceful marches and peaceful voicing becomes the nidus for some violence from others. That involves the sharing of voice and the solidarity thereof. That's a stress in our current time as well. And of course, finally, the upcoming election next month is indeed, a source of stress for us. I know it is for me. Not only who will win and who will lose, but what our current president will do and say and advocate, depending on the outcome of that election. That's a stress for me and you, maybe. It's important for all of us to recognize these stresses that are likely affecting us, not to ignore their presence in you, so that you're able to focus in on not only the effect that it's having on you, but also to help guide you relative to being an individual, relative to your reactions and your responses. Because, of course, how we as individuals deal with our stresses can affect our lives in many ways, such as affecting your relationship with your partner, for instance, or relationship with your coworkers, or relationship with other family members or friends, and simply how our reactions and responses affect our ongoing sense of well-being. So, I think it's important for all of us to know, listen to this, I want you all to know that it's normal and expected as being when you're a human being, and I assume most of you listening are human beings, to feel the stresses of these days. It's normal to feel those stresses and to feel stressed and stressed out. It's a normal reaction. If you're feeling this stress, know that you're not less than, you're not being a baby, you're not being unusual or weird, but you're being a human being. And I want you to know that you're okay, and that you are, because you're a human being. You're a remarkable living, breathing entity, a remarkable living, breathing human being. And you are remarkable, and that's a fact. So, once you understand yourself as being a wonderful, normal reaction kind of person, then hopefully you can focus in on what's right for you relative to your actions right now, this minute, but also your actions on into the future. Then, relative to your actions or our actions, our paths in life, it's important for us to recognize certain facts. Here's an important piece of advice. I'm not the one who made this up, by the way, but I think it's a wise overall statement. And that is, recognize things that you cannot change and accept those things as being present and that you cannot change them. and at the same time, recognize the things in your life that you can change and things about you and things you do that you can change. That allows you to focus your energy and your responses in the things that you can change. And hopefully you can practice figuring out for yourself in your life the differences between those things you can't, but yet others that you can change. I think that's sound advice for all of us. One of the areas of action in your life that you are in charge of, that is, that you can change, is the area of maintaining your own health, your own physical health, and also your own mental and emotional health or sense of well-being. Again, remember that you're normal when you feel these stresses. Then, also, I want to remind us all the fact that you're taking care of yourself or being nice to yourself, is another way I say it, is so important. Taking care of yourself is so important. Even though the COVID virus is here, before and after the COVID virus presence, if anything, makes it especially important to take care of yourself these days. Now, I'm going to delineate some of the being nice to yourself issues as I see it as a family practice doctor. I'm going to start with food that you eat. This, of course, is an important health subject, and I realize there's so many varying pieces of advice relative to foods in our health. Different people have different opinions, of course. However, I'm going to present some basics in information. I don't sell some kind of supplement or advise some kind of supplement or anything like that. I'm talking about simple, straightforward advice from me as a family doctor relative to foods, the wiseness of your choices of foods. First, relative to food in your life, eat regularly. I know when life is busy, and the COVID thing may add to that, that we often skip meals, eat junk food rapidly in some part, time of the day because we're not taking an actual meal. Remember to take care of yourself. Eat regularly. Make wise food choices. We all have our own styles and desires and ideas relative to wise food choices. But know what they are in your, what do you believe in? What do you think is important? And live by that. Eat by that. And relative to foods, now I'm going to go into some categories of foods that I, as a family doctor, feel are important for me to say some things about and advise. One of them is vegetables. People who know me as a doctor know that that I'm going to talk about vegetables. I can't talk about food without talking about vegetables. They happen to be an easily neglected, especially in people with busy lives, category of food. They're easily neglected. And another fact about vegetables that I want you to know, fresh is best. When I talk about vegetables on a regular basis, I'm talking about actually fresh vegetables. And I'm talking about every day. If I had my way, it would be with every meal as best you can. Fresh vegetables with every meal as best you can. The next thing about vegetables that I think is important, and I live by this myself and have for years, and I advise this for you, and that is that the food, the vegetables, the things grown that you eat, be organically grown. That is my opinion. I have a degree in biology as well, and I have, of course, an MD degree, and I say eat organically grown food. Where do you get it from? Where can you buy organically grown food? Well, you can grow it organically in your backyard, hopefully. Or the farmers markets are available nowadays. Many of them have available organic food. One issue that comes up in my life, and I see in others, is the cost of fresh vegetables, and including in that organically grown fresh vegetables. Well, here's how I say it about it. I think it's unfortunate that the cost is up compared to junk food. But think of it, I advise you, think of it as a health investment. Lord knows we do enough investing of our money and ourselves and our energy and other things in our lives. Well, think of organically grown fresh vegetables in your life as an investment in your health when you're putting money together to buy your food. The next category of food that I want to talk about as a family physician, and I want us to be on the same page of, from my opinion or my point of view, has to do with fruits. And I'm talking about, similarly, how I was talking about fresh vegetables. Now I'm talking about fresh fruits. And I think they are best for you and me if they are organically grown. So I advise that we also, as part of our regular eating, have fresh fruit available and eaten by us. Now, if you happen to have diabetes, either type 1, type 2, or whatever, there are some other types, remember that fruits are sugar. So manage that fact wisely. In other words, know that when you do eat fruit, you're eating some sugar. I happen to advise with type 2 diabetes that people eat a minimum of fresh fruit. When you don't have diabetes, then in my mind, it's in my opinion, it's much more open to you on how much of the fresh fruit to eat each day. But I would limit that if you have type 2 diabetes. If you have type 1 diabetes, you of course have to adjust your insulin intake for the sugar that's in the fruit you eat. So if you have questions about that, including if you have diabetes, and you have questions about that, don't forget to talk with your healthcare provider. When you're listening to me on the air, I am not your healthcare provider. I am simply a physician opinion, generally. I'm speaking in general terms here. Again, talk with your healthcare provider. So when we talk about foods, from an energy point of view, we use the word calories, and let's talk about what calories are. Calories are the energy that all cells, I'm sorry, energy. Energy is something that all the cells of our body need in order to do the work of each cell day to day. And with respect to the energy source, it is the calories that we get from the food we eat. And when we compare foods relative to this energy we get from them, in other words, the calories present in them, we categorize foods into three categories. Those three categories are fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. Now, I'm going to give you a bit of advice on each of those three categories today: fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. Again, this is from me, a family practice doctor, and these are my opinions. Fats. Let's start with fats. We need to eat fats regularly. As I've grown up, fats have... The information about fats and our intake of that and the advice for that is one of those areas of nutrition that has been, in the medical world anyway, has been in a state of flux over the years as far as information that we advise. But here's what I'm saying today, and I this is my opinion, and I'm not the only one with this opinion, that there are some fats that are healthier for us that do not have with them the possibility of doing some negative things to our body as well. And those good fats, generally speaking, are in the area of fats such as olive oil and flaxseed oil. Those are good fats. I think most of us would agree with that. Olive oil, flaxseed oil, good fat. And remember, again, we need to eat some fat every day. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Your healthcare provider might have specific advice for you relative to animal fats, and you might be someone who avoids animal fats anyway. For example, if you don't eat animal products. One thing about the calories in fat, remember that if weight is an issue for you and you're trying to lose weight and food is an issue that you're utilizing with your weight loss, of course, that you're looking for. We're looking for weight loss, in other words. Remember that fat, when we compare the calories in fats compared to protein and carbohydrates, fats have, as you know, more, they're more calorie rich by weight than protein and carbohydrates. They're actually twice the calories. So twice the calories by weight in fat compared to protein and carbohydrates. So you got to be watchful if you're trying to lose weight. Okay, now on to, I'm going to talk to you about protein. Protein is something we also need to eat regularly, and because, similar to on fats, where we need to eat them regularly because our body needs certain fatty acids, which are the building blocks of fats, we need to eat some fat on a regular basis because we need some of those amino fatty acids for our normal metabolism. So similarly, so protein needs to be consumed by the human on a regular basis because certain amino acids, the building blocks of protein, are needed to be consumed. In other words, our body cannot make them out of other things. And so we need to eat some protein on a regular basis as a human. Many of us feel protein is best actually to be eaten at each meal. Remember, however, when you're thinking about protein intake and protein-rich foods, that they may be foods, especially the animal source of protein, they may be foods that carry with them fat. Now, I already told you that we need fat, but also remember the amount of fat you eat each day, animal source anyway, might be something that you want to eat only in moderate amounts. Don't overeat. So don't overeat fats, animal fat. Most of us feel that way. So remember that some protein products are going to carry fat. Now, you can have lean meats that are less fat, of course. But there's other ways to get protein as well, which I'm going to mention in a minute. So remember, animal muscle, such as meats, you know, beef, pork, chicken, all have animal fat in them. But also, when we're talking about protein, other sources of protein are fish, crustaceans, milk, and many other milk products. And let's see. And it's also, of course, proteins are present in various plant products. So certainly a person can have adequate protein intake daily without eating animal products. Those relatively significant sources of protein in plant products include all bean and pea products, soy and other beans and peas, egg whites. Remember, the yolk of the egg is about half fat and half protein. But the egg white, or the clear part of the egg, and then when you cook it, it's white, is essentially protein and water. So it's protein. And then non-fat milk products of all kinds. If it's non-fat milk product, of course, it doesn't have any fat in it, but it has protein in it. Okay, so now on to a touchy subject. I think you'll probably agree it's a touchy subject. Many opinions on this subject, and that is carbohydrates. I do want to share some facts with you, though. Unlike protein in our food, unlike fat in our food, which we need to eat, remember, because we need to consume certain fatty acids and amino acids regularly to one degree or another. But on carbohydrates, it's different. First, what are carbohydrates, though? I want to go over that first. Carbohydrates are what some people call starches, or, and of course, sugars also. Examples are potatoes, and that includes sweet potatoes, corn, and all other grains, such as wheat and rice, and the natural sugar that's present in milk, some, to a degree, in beans and peas and bean and pea products. Fruits, and to a small degree, some vegetables. The most concentrated, however, categories of food that carbohydrates are present in are the ones that don't have much in the way of other calories present, just pretty much simply carbohydrates. And that is potatoes, grain products, vegetables, except for potatoes and sweet potatoes, are generally not too bad for carbohydrate presence. So vegetables, of course, are a subject that I've already talked about, but the nutritional things that goes into our bloodstream from carbohydrates generally is glucose. Digestion of carbohydrates gets glucose in our bloodstreams, and our bodies need glucose in our bloodstream constantly, all the time. However, our livers supply our bloodstreams with glucose constantly, all the time. Our livers are putting it in our bloodstream all the time, making it from other things and putting it into our bloodstream all the time to make sure that we always have adequate amounts of glucose in our bloodstream. No matter if we're eating carbohydrates or not, the liver is putting it into our bloodstream all the time and managing that for us. Therefore, we don't actually physiologically, metabolically need to eat carbohydrates in order for us to have adequate amounts of glucose in our bloodstream all the time. A little different with fats and proteins, of course. You got to eat them. We eat carbohydrates. Why do we eat carbohydrates? Well, we like them. They taste good. They're sweet. But not necessarily needed from a nutritional standpoint, at least not as regularly as fat and protein is. Now, what I'm telling you there about our bodies not needing to eat carbohydrates in order to maintain a normal blood sugar is not something that's just outright taught these days and in the past by most, I'm going to say this, most dietitians or physicians or mid-level practitioners probably. So I'm telling you, this is my opinion. I'm not the only one with this opinion. I just read a great review article on this subject. Now, again, the subject of carbohydrates is controversial in some people. So remember that you're getting my opinion today. If you want to hear more about it on another show, please email me, klogan.md@yahoo.com. One other fact about carbohydrates relative to the human being is that, however, you need to know this. If you are a human who's overweight, if you feel you are overweight, there's something you should know about carbohydrates in human beings and other animals. And that has to do with the hormone that is needed in order to get glucose from the bloodstream in all of us into the cells where it's used for energy. And that hormone is called insulin, comes from the pancreas. Well, if we have excessive body fat, then we have by definition, generally, we have to a degree a level of insulin resistance. In other words, your body, in order to get the glucose out of the bloodstream into the cells where it's needed for energy, your body needs your pancreas to put out more insulin than if you weren't compared to if you didn't have excess fat on your body. Well, what does extra insulin into your body each day mean relative to your weight? Well, it means you gain weight. You gain weight more readily compared to somebody sitting right next to you who is slender, eats the same food, does the same exercise or body activity. You gain weight if you're overweight and with fat, excess fat, and you eat the same food, same exercise, sitting right next to the guy who's a person who's slender. You gain weight and they don't, because you needed extra insulin. Your body did, and that's a weight gain hormone, an anabolic hormone. The more you make your body need by eating higher amounts of carbohydrate, the more weight gain you're going to have for the same amount of calories in food. I'm sorry to say that, and same amount of exercise. If you happen to have type 2 diabetes, then it's critically important that you manage your intake of carbohydrate, because not only do you have insulin resistance, where your body needs more insulin in order to maintain a normalized blood sugar level, but you also have, to a degree, a lowering of your pancreas's ability to make adequate amounts of insulin. So it becomes imperative if you have type 2 diabetes that you absolutely manage your intake of carbohydrates in a lowering of such way. What I just told you, again, is an opinion of me, Dr. Logan, family practice. I have a special interest in diabetes, though. I've dealt in diabetes for many years. So I agree with my opinion. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave food alone now. Now I'm going to go into another area of COVID or no COVID presence, the area of taking care of yourself or being health conscious is a regular body activity. Now, some people you might be calling that exercise, but I don't like the word exercise. I like the word body activity. In other words, being up and about somehow, not sitting all the time, but being up and about a fair amount of your time, of your life, and during each day. And specifically, it could be things like being up and about, but walking, biking, that is bicycling, swimming, or other body activity, regularly done. The word regularly done is important. Not 1 or 2 days a week. I'm talking about every day. It's part of your life. Don't sit at the computer all the time. You've got to be up and about on a regular basis. As far as if you're going to choose to do a set amount of time each day, say you got to be at the computer a big amount of your day. Well, and so you're going to pick a certain amount of time you're going to set aside for body activity, such as walking, biking, swimming, etc. Then you would want to know, well, how much should I do? And I'd say, well, I don't know. Depends on your health. But generally speaking, most of us say, for the average person, 20 to 30 minutes per day, but at least 5 days a week of some kind of walking, biking, swimming, some kind of body activity that you do. So 20 to 30 minutes per day, at least 5 days per week or more, and start gently. Don't bust into it full tilt. Go gently in the beginning and gradually work yourself up, including if you're going to start with 10 minutes per day, 5 days a week, and then gradually go up as time goes on in your life, increase the number of minutes. But I'm telling you, this regularness thing is absolutely important. You've got to schedule, if you're going to make this your body activity way, because let's say you're working on the computer a lot, etc. Well, you've got to do it regularly in order to, or you're going to lose it. I've worked with humans, obviously, for many, many years, and I know this happens. If you do it 1 or 2 days a week, then you're going to, number one, that's not adequate and it's dangerous. And number two, you're going to drop it off. You're going to stop doing it. You got to make it part of your life. You got to commit to it and make it, and therefore make it part of your regular day. It's got to be, okay, you put your pants on in the morning, you tie your shoes, okay, and you exercise. Make it part of what you normally do each day. Remember, regular body activity does things for you besides helping your heart, obviously, and your blood vessels and throughout your body. But it also helps with this. It helps you manage and helps improve the effects of this thing we were talking about earlier in the show, stress. Remember, we're in a stressful time now. There's not a more needed time for regular activity than it is now during this COVID time. And the other stresses that I was talking about, the fires. I know the air is bad, but you still can do some activity, gentle activity, body activity. I'm not saying run a marathon, but I'm saying get out and do activity in your house even. You can walk around your house. You can do what you find necessary to get your body activity. But other things such as the other stresses that are present that we talked about, financial stresses, the upcoming election, etc. Now, and the COVID thing, now is the time to be taking care of yourself, including the regularness of activity. It also helps anxiety and depression and, of course, your weight. Now I'm going to move on to another subject, and that is of taking care of yourself and being nice to yourself. And that has to do with assigning yourself and being regular with your daily sleep and rest. I know busy lives happen. I know that some of you maybe are students, so you've got studying to do. I know this. I've been there myself. Believe it or not, I was a student once, and still am, actually. Of course, student of life. And sleep, getting adequate sleep is necessary, as you know. Don't forget to schedule that in. You would ask, how much sleep is the right amount? And I, just like with body activity, I say, and foods to a degree, I say this is an individualistic thing. You know probably how many hours of sleep are right for you. Remember, it's how your body and your brain recharges. You need it. We all humans need it. So generally speaking, if you, I think most of us docs think about a 7 or 8 hour a night sleep. Now that might not be you. You might only need 6 or 6.5. Who knows? I have patients. I know people, of course, who need more. Maybe 9 or 10 hours sleep. You will know. If you're having difficulty with sleep, such as sleep apnea or other problems with sleep, then please talk to your family, I'm sorry, your primary care provider about that and try to get some help. But remember, it's how you recharge your brain and your body. So adequate sleep is important, of course. Okay, the next thing I'm going to move on to relative to you being nice to yourself and taking care of yourself, including during these COVID and other stressful times, is having regular health checkups by your health care provider. And I know for a fact when the COVID started, well, that dropped off, obviously. I mean, there were medical practices closing for a while, et cetera, and people avoiding offices such as that because of COVID. I'm telling you, now is the time. We've all restructured. Most medical facilities and offices have restructured their activities to be COVID wise, so, and prevention wise. So now it's time to get back at your regularness of health checkups, including with the children and their vaccinations. I am a believer in most vaccinations, maybe not all, but most vaccinations. Certainly, as a community, we need ourselves to have the children to have their vaccinations done on an updated, on a regular basis. It helps the child, but it also is necessary for the health and disease avoidance in our communities. That's just the way it is. Now, there are some of the newer vaccines that I might debate people with a little bit, but I'm talking about the general childhood vaccinations. back to other health checkup things. Women, remember, I know you've been putting off your mammogram. Well, if you're old enough to in that age range where mammogram or cancer, early cancer, breast cancer detection is advised, well, get your darn mammogram done. Keep up with your mammogram advice. Talk to your healthcare provider about it. Pap smears. Remember, keep your pap smear. I'm telling you, I read an article the other day about it's dropped off. You know, the wellness checkups for women and things like pap smears has dropped off. And it's time to get back at it. Get back at it relative to having a routine gynecologic exam by your healthcare provider, as they say it. Now, pap smears are cancer of the cervix prevention tests, and a prevention can come out of that if certain human papillomaviruses are detected or certain changes in the cells of the cervix on pap smear, then a relatively simple procedure can be done to help you not get cervical cancer. Prevention, in other words. If you happen to have early cervical cancer, you want to get it found and treated early so you get a cure on it. Colon cancer screening. Colon cancer is the second most common killer cancer-wise in the population of men and women together. First one is lung, but the second one is colon cancer. So having colon cancer screening starting at age 50, talking to your healthcare provider on what method, there is a stool collection method that has gained more as a method that is more advisable now than it used to be, as being adequate as a screen. But then there's also the colonoscopy, which is more than a screen. It's a absolute test. So, and the other benefit of colonoscopy is if you happen to be an adenomatous polyp maker, which are the things that can turn into colon cancer, then those can be excised or removed at the colonoscopy session to prevent colon cancer in you. Anyway, so talking with your provider, if you're 50 years or older, about colonoscopy. If you're black, my recollection is that colon cancer screening may actually be advised to start in mid-40s. So if you're black and you're mid-40 age or more, and you haven't had colonoscopy or other colon cancer screening tests, talk to your provider about it. It's important. That likewise for men on the colon cancer screening. 50 or more, unless you're black, then maybe mid-40s or older. With men, the other thing is prostate cancer. Actually, in men, that's the most common cancer, is prostate cancer. Now, usually it's in older males, but sometimes not. Sometimes it's younger. So, but nonetheless, most of us advise, I think, something that's somewhat controversial in some docs, and that is the utilization of a blood test that can screen. It's not a blood test to tell you yes or no on prostate cancer, but it's a screening test. And it's the PSA, prostate-specific antigen blood test. It doesn't say yes or no on cancer of the prostate, but if it's in a certain level or rising over time, then it may indicate prostate cancer, and then you may need a simple prostate biopsy or some other test. So remember, prostate cancer is the most common cancer in men. So starting at about the age 50, for most men, maybe younger if you have family history or other problems. So talk with you, that PSA should probably be part of your life. Now it's a controversial test because the levels of that reading are better done on a comparative basis from year to year as opposed to a single test, because PSA goes up as our prostate grows as we age. Some people more than others, and not be indicating cancer. So there, when your PSA blood test is done, if you're a man, is done by you or your provider, it needs a discussion. It merits a discussion even before you have the blood done with your provider, healthcare provider. You need to talk about the pros and cons and what it means and what the facts are about the PSA thing. If you men want more specific information about that and you want me to do a radio show on these types of issues, including the PSA, prostate cancer screening, colon cancer screening, pap smears, etc., it happens to be an area that I have interest in, and I'm happy to do a show on it. If you have a request that way, please email me at klogan.md@yahoo.com. The key thing on this healthcare checkup stuff is communicating with your healthcare provider. For those of you who do not have a healthcare provider, like a primary care provider, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you, but I want you to, my advice is that you do your best to find one. Problems in our community is that indeed there are not enough of us around. And some of them, like me, are getting older and don't do regular practice anymore. So do your best to find a primary care provider. If you're looking for more advice on that, I mean, I'm happy to give, if you emailed me, I'd give you my two cents on that subject in our area. In other words, our geographical area relative to finding one. And my email address is klogan.md@yahoo.com. Remember, I'm a doctor who likes to teach and communicate and listen. So that's why I'm giving you that. I don't mind giving you my email address. Now I'm going to talk about a subject that, oh, I know what I was going to say. For those of you who do not have health insurance or have health insurance that you cannot afford to use, And you have a need for a doctor, not for these screening tests like pap smears or colonoscopy or even blood tests, but for instance, if you have a chronic disease and you need a prescription for high blood pressure, or we're going to talk about blood pressure in a minute, I think. But let me just say this, that blood pressure is something that you, is another thing of health need that you and all people, if you're in your 30s or older, you really should know how your blood pressure tends to run. The blood pressure is the pressure inside the arteries of the body. The reason it's important is if the blood pressure is high over years, it increases the likelihood for heart attack, stroke, kidney failure, and so at a younger age than it has to be. In other words, we all will die of something like that, but you don't want to die younger than you need to. So, do you? So, knowing what your blood pressure is and making sure that it's okay is something you can do with your healthcare provider. That is something that that if you don't have health insurance, or you can't afford to use your health insurance, you have an elevated blood pressure and you don't have a doctor to help treat it, and you need help with that kind of thing, or you have diabetes and you need prescriptions for your diabetes and you don't have health insurance. Those kinds of things are things that could be taken care of by a free clinic in Chico. The free clinic is called the Shalom Free Clinic. It's called Shalom, but it does not have any religious basis at all. It's simply a grassroots organization. It's not affiliated with anything else except human beings who volunteer their time in Chico, California, once a week to see people who need it, who don't have health insurance or can't afford to use their health insurance, or have health insurance and they just need a prescription for their blood pressure medicine or something and cannot get in with their healthcare provider. The Shalom Free Clinic, no money, change hands, we don't care about insurance, is most Sundays from 1 to 4 in the afternoon at 1010 Mangrove. That's 1010 Mangrove Avenue in Chico. 1 to 4 each most Sunday afternoons. No appointment necessary. You just show up. It's not a full comprehensive healthcare thing, but it's a help, and I'll talk to you about, I'm there, so I can talk to you about, the finding of a primary care doctor or provider, et cetera. I can do that kind of thing too, but I want you to know that we are COVID-wise. I actually don't even see the patients in the clinic. I see them in their cars at a distance. I'm wearing a mask, and I want them wearing a mask, et cetera. If they don't have a car, we pull out some chairs and sit under some trees in the shade. So we're COVID-wise. But we're available Sunday afternoons, 1 to 4, 1010 Mangrove, no appointment necessary. Now, I'm going to get into flu vaccination, and then I'm going to go on and talk about COVID virus. But influenza can happen any time of year, but its bulk of time is in the late November to March zone of the year, kind of winterish time of year, flu season, quote unquote. And influenza is the respiratory thing. It's not this, some people say, oh, I had the stomach flu. Well, that's a misnomer. Influenza is a respiratory breathing, cough, congestion, fever, body aches, similar to the COVID symptoms, by the way. Nonetheless, flu season coming up. What would be bad is if a person came down with COVID and influenza, that'd be bad. I haven't seen that yet, but I just don't even want to think about it. It would be ugly. So influenza prevention is possible. It's not perfect, but it is possible via vaccination. It's been around a long time. I've been doing it and receiving it myself for many years. I'm a believer in flu vaccine. I'm an unbeliever in allowing people to get influenza when they didn't need to get it. It sucks. And so, and it can affect children much, and the effect in children is worse than COVID. In other words, more kids with influenza have a significant problem compared to COVID. But influenza vaccinations, the time of the year to have it is, you're listening to this on the 15th of October, and the time to get the vaccination is now, the month of October. If you think about it later instead, like November or December, get it then instead. When you remember it. But really, the best time is October. It always has been, and it still is. October is the right time. I think of it as Halloween. If you haven't had your flu shot by Halloween, it's time to get it done. It happens to be influenza, unfortunately, is a little different virus than COVID. And it, unfortunately, different. The reason I say that unfortunate thing is that influenza virus goes through changes. There's actually subgroups of influenza virus. What they've done with the vaccination, they look at the data over the years and the current, like last year, and the current trends of which of the subgroups are around, and they formulate the vaccine to accommodate those. And so this year's vaccination covers four subgroups of influenza virus. So it's a one shot, but it covers four of the subgroups. So it's a quadrivalent, they call it. Four ones are covered. Children from 6 months or older, I believe. If your child, I'm pretty sure that we don't, I'm not recollecting less than 6 months of age what we do relative to vaccination for influenza. You're going to have to talk to your pediatrician about that. But certainly 6 months or older and beyond into elderliness, the flu vaccine is advised. And in the olden days, I used to advise it for only certain groups of people. Nope, not anymore. It's everybody. We try to stop it in the community. That's why we try to have everybody who is able to get the shot to have the shot every year. That's my advice. I think you can trust my opinion. I've been doing this a long time, family practice. What else was I going to say about that? I want you to know the expectations you should have about the flu vaccination. Your expectations need to be correct for all of us. When we think about what to expect from the flu vaccination as far as protection from the influenza virus, hear me say this. It's the best we have, and even so, it's only 50 to 60% effective. In other words, it's not 100% effective. But 50 to 60% effective in preventing or limiting the degree of influenza you might have when you get infected, if you got infected, is better than zero protection. 50 or 60% protection is better than zero protection. So I advise you get the shot. Anybody who gets a flu shot might feel a little soreness of the arm, of course, for a couple days, but you might also feel a little woozy, little punk-like, just a little under the weatheroid. For a couple days, that is a normal response. You will not get an episode of influenza. You will not get a coughing, fever, respiratory illness from it. Impossible. The vaccine is not a live virus. It is not a live virus. You cannot get a respiratory illness infection from a flu vaccination. That's a fact. And so, remember that some people don't want to get a flu shot because I got so sick when I got the flu shot. Well, guess what? It's the winter time of the year when you get the shot, generally. And that means that the cold virus, rhinovirus, and other respiratory viruses are rampant then. So other viruses are out there. So remember how common the cold is and how common the rhinovirus and other viruses are. So you get a flu shot and you get sick. Well, guess what? It doesn't stop all viruses, but it's the best you can do to help prevent influenza. I do want to talk about, I'm not sure exactly how much time I have left. Yeah. Okay, so I've got to talk about COVID virus vaccine. And that means, where am I here? Okay. So, The issue about the vaccination for COVID virus is this, and I'm going to start out by saying the information you may have heard comes if it comes from President Trump. Remember, President Trump, his brain does not work in the realm of science. And one reason he hates science is I think he's just not bright enough to absorb it and to know about it and to believe in it. That's my personal opinion. He has narcissistic personality disorder. He has a brain disorder. In medical doctors' world, we say people with President Trump's brain function is a disorder. And it's called narcissistic personality disorder with elements of sociopathic personality disorder. And that's aside from parts of his personality that includes the pathologic lying he does. In other words, as you know, if you listen to the debate that was, the first debate of four was last night. By the time you're listening to this, of course, there's been other ones, but, and you know, if you listen to that, the man's just full of lies. I mean, he's just nonstop. So, I'm uncertain why people believe him, but that's a whole nother subject. Point is, when he talks about the flu vaccine, here's the deal with vaccine development. COVID virus vaccine development is vaccination development is not new. It's been going on for decades for various infectious diseases. There's the right way and the wrong way to develop them and produce them. And that includes the adequacy of testing and observation studies after the vaccination is given to humans for safety reasons and for viability or how well do they work for humans. Remember I said that on the flu vaccinations, it's been years, but it's only 50 to 60% helpful. Well, you still want to get the flu shot, I say. It ain't perfect, but you want it, I hope, the shot. So COVID, who knows what the percentage of a positive effect or benefit is going to come from the COVID vaccine once they get it. People like Trump want you to think that it's going to be a slam dunk 100% thing. Number one, it won't be. We don't know what the percentage of benefit will be. In other words, when you get a COVID vaccination, what the percentage of help? I'm going to be in favor of the COVID virus. I'm sorry, COVID vaccine being used. As long as it's produced correctly, the production of a vaccine requires time to not only develop the vaccine, and it might be vaccines, by the way. There might be one or more of them. Probably will be more than one. Because there's various companies working on it. So whatever vaccine or vaccines for COVID comes out, not only does it take time to develop it and test it, add